This is Kiss Your Fist and Touch the Sky, written by Bitter Cape and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic featuring the relationship Frank Castle / Jason Todd. "I don't get it," Dick says. He's sitting next to Frank on a rooftop in Brooklyn Docks, watching Jason demolish a gang of some sort below. Drug dealers, he thinks. Jason has always objected loudly and clearly to dealers cutting their products or selling to kids, so that's probably the issue here. Next to him, Frank hums. Dick is accustomed to men who can't use their words, and is skipping right over what Jason's relationship with Frank might say about his daddy issues, and the tone of Frank's noise is clearly a "go on." "He disappeared so suddenly, and now he's back, and he's so different," Dick continues. "Jason was so angry," he thinks, "before he left." Some of it is understandable, at least to Dick, who arguably has more of a temper than Jason, even if he hides it better. No, he's never had a problem understanding where Jason's coming from, but this... I would have thought he'd be picked by the Red Lanterns, if any. Or green, I could see that. But violet? Frank hums again, and this time Dick can't decipher its meaning. Below them, Jason is punching a drug dealer's face in with gusto. Frank makes an appreciative noise as he spins into a roundhouse kick, connecting with another goon's jaw with a crack. Dick winces a little. "You've let others tell you what he's like," Frank says, and Dick startles. "But you knew him when he was a kid, so what was he like then?" "Angry," Dick says. "But not as angry as I was, not in the same way. He was angry at the system, for letting people down, for leaving the weakest to fend for themselves. He was a sweet kid. He cared so much." Frank tenses a little, as below them, four goons are circling closer to Jason. Dick can read the attentive tension in Frank's shoulders like an open book, watches the way his eyes flick from one to the other, checking, Dick thinks, if he needs to jump down or get out his gun. His shoulders relax after a moment filled with thumps and screams. "There you have it," Frank says, and seems to think that's the end of the conversation. Dick makes a protesting noise, and Frank sighs. "What do you mean I've let others tell me?" Dick asks. "I was there. I saw what he did." Frank looks at him. He looks so much like Jason in that moment, mouth a flat line and eyebrows raised, doubt written in his eyes. "You mean I let B interpret Jason's actions?" Dick says. "I did, maybe, a little." He thinks about it, while Frank watches Jason beating the shit out of a man who is, unbelievably, significantly larger than himself. There are at least 10 other men sprawled out and bleeding below them, and several more have crawled away. "You mean I should have asked Jason about it?" Dick says. Frank shrugs. "Yeah, he maybe wouldn't have been all that interested in talking to me, but do you think anyone asked him about the why for the past years?" Frank makes a noise that sounds negative to Dick's ears. Down on the street, Jason has picked up a length of rebar, and Dick worries a little what he's going to do with it. Fortunately, he doesn't have to do anything but lift it up like a baseball bat, and the last two goons standing drop to their knees with their hands in the air. "Yeah, you're right," Dick says. "It wasn't fair to him. After all, I know better than anyone that B can be... I'm gonna go with stubborn." Frank huffs, a minimalistic approach to a laugh. "Jason, he still cared, about people nobody else cared about. And when he left, some things got far worse for a while, until his friends came to pick up the slack." Frank tilts his head and glances at Dick, quick and curious, before looking back at Jason. Jason is putting zip ties on the wrists and ankles of the slumped slabs of meat down on the street. Dick wonders if he could have secured them with a construct, like he's seen Kyle do. But then, a zip tie is probably more practical. A solid, standard solution that doesn't need complicating, which feels like more of a Frank thing than a Jason thing. You know Jess, yeah? Jessica Jones? Dick pinches the bridge of his nose. She did not play nice with B. I think he really gained a new appreciation for Jason after hearing her dulcet tones as soon as he stepped foot inside Crime Alley. Frank actually cracks a smile at that, broad and delighted, and it lights up his entire being in a way that makes Dick suddenly understand what Jason sees in him. But she cares too, and even B had to admit it, Dick says. He may or may not have asked Babs to save some of her more memorable rants to replay when Bruce gets to... Bruce. They still missed him, though. Crime Alley. Did you know they made a little shrine for him when he disappeared this time? They did before, too, for their Robin. Tim showed me. Frank nods, and somehow conveys that this was new information, but that it makes perfect sense to him. They love him, he says, and he loves them. What, all of them? Dick asks, and thinks about some of the citizens of Crime Alley. Not the first people that come to mind when he thinks about love. You hear love, and you think romance, Frank says. But love isn't candy and roses. Everything he does for love, even if it's the kind of love that's soaked in blood to the elbows. Dick doesn't get it, and he's not afraid to admit it. But he doesn't get a chance to, because Jason is floating up to them, hovering in the air, star sapphire uniform leaving absolutely nothing to the imagination. Dickie, he frowns. What are you doing here? Are you bothering Frank? You have a boob window, Dick says, because his brain is currently empty of everything else. What the frickity frack? Jason rolls his eyes. Don't blame me for you skipping every single bench press for the last 10 years, he says. Lies, Dick gasps. Lies and slander. So he might not be as dedicated to lifting as Jason apparently is. Sue him. Dick, Jason says again. Leave Frank alone. He doesn't need you to interrogate him about whatever you're blaming me for these days. You can just talk to me. His tone is far more gentle than his words, and he briefly rests his hand on Frank's knee. It's a gesture innocent enough to do in front of God and everybody, but still, it somehow has weight and significance to it. I'm gonna call Hal to get the big guy, Jason says, gesturing to the mountain of a man who, now that he mentions it, doesn't look entirely human. I guess the cops can handle the rest. It's no better than these scumbags deserve. His eyes flash violet for a moment. Dick thinks about the kids that won't meet the pushers tonight, about the addicts that won't be exposed to dangerous and unpredictable drugs, cut with whatever this gang has been using. Thinks about what he knows of Jason's childhood. He can see where he's coming from, clearer than before. Jason tilts his head to look at him, and then smiles before swooping away to communicate with Hal. Dick watches him, a bright pink against the sky. He's got more love inside him than most people could handle, Frank says, and even if Dick doesn't understand it, it seems right, like a fundamental truth. The end.